Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us. We know that there is a word from the Lord for you. And, I mean, God is doing some things. Not many days from now, we'll be broadcasting from our new facilities. God has blessed us to be able to go into, amen. And we'll be doing some other things, amen. So stay tuned, but get ready, amen.
Amen.
But before I go any further, let me go ahead and turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so she can give us our announcement and our morning prayer. Prophetess.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle McQueen and myself for a Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. And you can also hear me for Prophetic Atmosphere every Thursday. All of our shows are live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is also our website. We do invite you there to visit us. We're doing some construction work, but we are still active. Amen. If you would like any information concerning the church or just general information concerning us, or you would like someone to touch and agree with you in prayer or even invite us to come minister at any one of your engagements, as you're on our website, once again, www.ctkr.org, go to the Contact Us tab located at the top of the page, click there, follow all the instructions, and someone will contact you within 48 hours. Amen. Glory be to God. Also want to let you know that we have Facebook pages. Please go there to our Facebook pages and like us. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Also let us know how the Lord is blessing you. What has God been saying to you for the kingdom of God? We would love to hear from you. Again, you can locate us on our Facebook pages under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you can locate us under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. First of all, just want to say we are excited about the news, as my husband was saying, about what God has been doing and doors that he has been opening. And we also want to thank you, our supporters, amen, for just continuously praying for us, lifting us up, supporting this broadcast. We thank you for all of those who have stuck with us from the beginning since we first had our initial coming on the scene, amen, back in 2010. Just want to say bless you, and we're continuously praying for you and supporting you and believing that you too will fulfill God's purpose and destiny on your life. Glory be to God. Those are the announcements for this morning. Now, let us pray, and then once we're done with prayer, we will open up our hearts to receive Apostle Christopher McQueen with the word from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this hour. Father, we just bless your holy name. We glorify you. We thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your protection. God, we thank you for your strength. We thank you for your revelation. God, we thank you that you have carried us over every trial, every tribulation, carried us through every situation, every circumstance, God. We thank you for the hard times, Father, because in that place, that's where we got to know you even the greater. Lord, we just thank you for just being God. We just lift your name up in this place. You said if you would be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just have your way during this service, that you would begin to minister to each and every heart, each and every mind, each and every situation in Jesus' name. Even as the man of God comes, Father, we ask that you would just begin to touch him, open up his mind, let him receive the revelation from you to give to us in Jesus' name. Let our hearts and our minds be changed in your presence in Jesus' name. Father, we say yes once again to your will. We say yes once again to your way. We shall be obedient to what you have called us to do. We will no longer make excuses for the reason why we stay in the same place. We have circumed, or we have gone around the mountain long enough, as you have said, and you said it's time to turn. We turn, God, northward because we want to see your face. We want to see the glory of God. We want to see the manifestation of your power in the earth. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you for every prayer warrior. We thank you for every intercessor, God. We thank you for every fivefold. We thank you for your people, amen, who have not bowed down or who have not succumbed to this world's thinking and this world's way of doing things, but have kept themselves holy and pure before you. God, we thank you, amen, that you're doing what you're doing. We thank you for where you're taking us to, and we thank you for where we're going. We bless your holy name. All praise and glory belongs unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Amen. Thank you for that that awesome dynamic prayer. I just want you all to know that when God begins to bless, he blesses because it is his nature to bless. Amen. And what I mean by that is that God gave us the responsibility, amen, to be a blessing to the earth, amen, and to all the families of the earth. Notice that everything that he's done has been something that he's called us to a responsibility of. He's given us the ability, but then he's also given us the responsibility. Amen.
Amen.
To do so many things. And so many have set on their gifts, their talents. They've hidden them away and don't want nobody to see or know or anything else. And what God is trying to get us to now is to do the work that he's called us to do, the way that he's called us to do it,
mm-hmm.
without having any reservations about doing it. Amen.
Amen.
Once we can do that, then God can get the full glory out of our lives.
That's true.
And we find too often that people want that aspect of their life. They want to give God glory. But yet and still, they haven't come up to the charge of it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why where we are now, we're talking about what was said here in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the first verse, amen. As we begin to look at it and understand it, we'll see that as Paul is charging Timothy, this charge is not just to him.
Right.
This charge is to everyone.
Amen.
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 And if the charge is to everyone, huh, then we have to stand up and we have to take our position, answer the call,
yes,
and do the work. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been here in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and we've gotten down to about the 3rd verse. And I want to, for today, deal with some of these things here. we dealt with preach the word in the second verse. Be ready in season and out of season. Mm-hmm. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Okay, now here we are. For the time will come, third verse, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Amen. When we begin to look at this then, at this juncture, at this point, then we see that there are some things that we're going to have to really work on.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
And I think that I would be remiss if I didn't just say, Lord, work on me too. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh, I need to know that after all is said and done, God isn't giving us chance and opportunity and chance again and opportunity again to get it right and do right and come up to the next level. And he's trying to provoke us. He's trying to get us to look at it and see it for what it is. And you just keep passing it over like it done. Oh, he gave me a chance before. He gave me opportunity before. Well, Lord, I didn't get it this time. Ooh, I missed that. Lord, give me another. Mm-mm. It's not promised to you. It's not a guarantee that you're going to have that ability.
That's very true.
Hmm? So when God gives you an opportunity and a chance, then you need to accept it. Amen. It's, I hate to say it like this, but we need to stop playing with God. When we stop playing with God, then we'll take seriously the assignments that we're given.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at this here. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. And we know that, Paul has told him in the previous chapter, amen, that third chapter, first verse, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of monies, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of God, and see this right here by itself, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Look what it says. It says, and from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive captives of gullible women, laid down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so now when we begin to look at these words, we can pretty much, if we're just going to preach between these two here,
right,
we already see that there is a correlation with what we deal with today in Christianity and some of the churches and what Paul is talking to Timothy about right here. Amen?
Amen.
And because he is instructing him on what he needs to do, he lays it out for him. You know, hey, there's going to be some stuff that is going on, but don't lose focus. Amen. Don't lose yourself. Don't lose yourself with all the drama and all the other stuff that's going to come along. When you don't have an anointing, when you don't have a call, when you're just existing, then when what it says here, having a form of godliness but denying its power, we're really dealing with the fact that people have learned how to today have church with no Jesus.
That's very true.
Amen. They learned how to come together and make it sound, but not ever give God glory. So we have people who are professional worshipers. They just learn how to, you know, cry on cue and everything. It's like those actors, you know, a good actor or actress, when they tell you, listen, I can cry on cue. No, you can't. Tears start running. They're like, ooh, you're good. Okay, well, guess what? People are doing that in the household of faith. They're not living nothing. But yet and still, in a moment, they get, ooh, quickened all up, ready to run. Wait a minute, hold on. There was no Holy Spirit touching you. Mm-hmm. We know because the life you live coming into here, mm-hmm. that's a mirror him touching you once you got here.
Exactly.
See, you. I don't care if you have a dish that has been dirty, you're not just going to run water on it and start using that dish. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, please let me know before I come and eat at your house. Huh? You need to use some soap. You need to use something that is going to cleanse the dish. Amen? Mm-hmm. Think about it. The dish been sitting there on the sink, and you have spaghetti. There's spaghetti on the outside of the dish and everything, and hardened and everything else. Everything has been there a while. Amen? And you just going to come in and rinse some water on it and then put your sandwich on that. Somebody just got grossed out right there, and you should be. Now think about you living your filthy life that you refuse to change. You harden and set in your ways. But you think you're going to come in the environment where the Holy Spirit is, and now you're going to be, you see the difference? Do y'all see that? It can't happen like that. Or let me say it like this. It don't happen like that. Amen? You need to make sure that you're getting something on the inside of you that is going to change your behavior patterns. You know, I've been doing this for a while, and ain't nobody said nothing until I got here. That's because when you got here, we were here to point out what you needed to change so you could do your assignment. Okay, Ephesians 4:11, he gave some prophets, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Okay, for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying. Okay, our job is to get you to the place where you can do the work and that you're equipped to do so. And if you're carrying stuff or doing things that are going to be caustic, amen, to your spiritual progression and your fulfillment of the assignments that God has given you, then it's our job to say, hey, get that together, focus here, get rid of that, you need to add this in, put this in your regimen,
sure.
Amen,
sure.
And as you do so, then you're able to move on and do what you need to do. But we have too many people walking around with a form and no power.
Amen.
It is amazing to me how some people can pull from the different databases. They can pull on people's academic work and pass it off as their own. Plagiarism in the body of Christ, which wouldn't be quite as bad dealing with the fact that we use the Bible, which was not written by us,
right.
But we use citation from it often. Amen? So when we're citing the Bible, then we're doing the right thing. Is when we call the scripture out and everything else. What I'm talking about is when you have people who have to take from some other source to find a word because they're not connected to the source that provides the word. The Holy Spirit has oft times, and I know you prophetess, I watch you go through and do things yourself when you are set up for a service and you're going to preach a message, and as you get up, I know where you were because, you know, we sat there and went over it, and I know how you put it together. But then when you get up there and the Holy Spirit shifts in the atmosphere, you shift with him and go to where you need to go. Later on, or where he's leading you, later on you hear that word you gave. Amen, was the word I needed, especially at this point. And it's normally about the point where the Holy Spirit took you from your notes and took you here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why am I saying this? Because you take time to put the time in your studies. Amen?
Right.
And when you put your time in your studies, then you'll find out that when the Holy Spirit needs to pull from the resource on the inside of you, amen, he has something to pull from, amen. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Amen. Right. While I'm hiding the word on the inside, what I'm basically doing is I'm stocking the pantry.
True.
Amen. On the inside of me. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit comes in to provide for me a spiritual meal, when he needs to go in the pantry and get something for a recipe that he has for my growth and my progression, he has something to draw from.
That's right.
Y'all understand that? See, too often you don't put nothing on the inside where he needs to get bread from so he can, you know, coat something. He goes in there and there's nothing in there. Well, guess what? You can't get bread at nothing.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Huh? Sometimes he needs to add a little bit of this spice or a little bit of this seasoning there. And he goes and he opens it up and there's no spice and no seasoning. Guess what? Your food going to be bland.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand? When we are reading the Word of God, we're stocking the pantry on the inside of us. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit needs to, he'll open that up and he'll give us what we need from the resource that is within us. Amen.
Amen.
Can I show it to you another way? The Bible says you are the temple of the Most High God.
Yes.
Amen. Huh? So if you are the temple of the Most High God, on the inside of you, you should be worshiping the King. Amen. On the inside of you, you should be making sure that the temple is kept clean. Amen. And that there's worship and praise and those things going on the inside of you. So that when you need your hallelujah to be empowered,
mm-hmm.
You'll be able to say hallelujah and feel a response from the inside of you. Amen. I remember when I was younger and we used to tarry at the altar, amen. We used to tarry at the altar until we felt it in our belly, amen. We don't do that anymore because everybody's cute and everything and you're not judging my level and I'm saved too. And how you going to tell me? Stop. We used to know when you were saved. Huh? We can't tell now. People say it, but we can't see it because there's nothing showing it.
Amen.
Amen. Anytime that you could cuss somebody out and then hallelujah after it and then give you a sentence or two and you ready to speak in tongues, there's some disconnect there. The Bible says that bitter and sweet can't come out the same picture.
That's very true.
Huh? See, there's people who have learned how to be professional.
Yeah.
They can stand up and let's usher in the presence of the Lord. And that's just how they just left out their lover's bed. Cussed out every driver that cut in front of them on the way to church. You know, told people and gave people a piece of their mind in the back room before they come out. And then here they come out talking about, oh, we're here, we love you. Take out of us. You don't mean none of that because it's just a form to you. You learned the lingo, but you don't have a response to the words that you're saying. It's really not meant. Amen. And we got to get from all of this stuff that we learned to say to the things that we feel we have to say because we're trying to get closer to him. Don't tell me that you're trying to get closer to him when I see you're trying to get closer to your bae or your boo. Huh? You can't get closer to him and get closer to them if they didn't put a ring on it. It ain't yours. Stop trying to own it. Amen. I'm taking care of mine because that's what that's the problem. You try to take care of yours.
Wow.
Amen. But you won't take care of yours. If he's yours, he is mine. He is my joy in my heart, peace in my mind. You know, I tell the world, wherever I go, that Jesus I know, he is mine. Amen. See, we don't sing those songs anymore.
You went back there, didn't you?
I went way back. Amen. I told you I'm old school. I might be young, but I'm old school. Amen. Huh? And when we used to sing those songs, we used to sing them because it meant something to us. It wasn't the melody, it was the message.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah, the resume.
Huh? So when we look at these songs and things that are going on now, people have learned how to be polished in what they do, but they have not learned how to be connected to the words that they say.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation earlier today, and the conversation was speaking of the fact that they noticed that whenever I say something, I'm very careful of what I say, and if I said it, if it happened, if you happen to get it out my mouth, then I will do everything I can in my power, amen, to make sure I honor that word. And that's important to me because a preacher with a bad word is one that don't have a message. Amen? Amen. How are you going to be able to deal with the fact that you're going to preach the word when everything that's coming out your mouth is a lie? That means that when you begin to preach the word, y'all see that?
Right.
That word then becomes in the hearers' ears a lie. That's why they can't trust in the true and living Savior, because they've seen you instead of him.
Wow.
Your character has been testifying who Christ is, and your character has been faulty, so Christ in their view mm-hmm. is faulty as well. Mm-hmm. And we got to get back to integrity and into character when it comes down to this.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I said it before, and those of you who know my testimony know I went through something where people were trying to slander and test my character. Thank God my character and my integrity stood.
Amen.
That means that I had to go through something, knowing I could say, I told you so, and the Holy Spirit said, don't say nothing. Live the life. Disprove the lie.
That's it.
Huh? So when you can go through in your life, disproves it, then God gets the glory, and you don't have to get no glory out of it. Just know that when he covers you and he's blessing you and favors upon your life, then that's God saying, see, I got your back, amen? Huh?
Glory.
So that's what we need to look at, amen?
Amen.
So here we are. Paul is then talking about this. In last days, perilous times will come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. That means stop looking, trying to see if you're going to have to go through something. Brother or sister, you're going to have to endure something.
Yeah.
Jesus said it this way. He said, you know, that there's going to be some things that are going to happen to you. Amen?
True.
Hmm? Huh?
True.
2 Peter 3:3.
All right.
Knowing that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lusts. People are coming. You're going to say holy. And they're going to say, why? I'm still being blessed. You're going to say righteousness. And they're going to say, I am because I sowed a seed.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You're going to say, live right and get yourself in, together. And they're going to say, I have because I go to this church and God would, with the grace of God that is upon me, he wouldn't suffer me to have to go through because he loved me that much. Listen, brother, sister, he loved you enough to send his only begotten son, Jesus. His son loved you enough to allow them to crucify him and to lie on him and spit on him and kill him. Amen.
Amen.
So he died for you. Amen. But after he got done, he got up with all power in his hands. Amen. So you don't have to go through all of that. He loved you enough to provide for you a way of escape.
Thank
so
you.
If you refuse the way of escape, nobody's going to hell because they're smoking cigarettes, getting high, drinking, or all the rest of that. Amen? They're going because they reject Jesus. Now, let me show you how that drinking, smoking, and rest of that gets in there. When you refuse him, then you refuse the acceptance of all those other things,
mm-hmm.
or you accept all those other things, amen? Because when you don't have him to keep you,
that's it.
Then you got to find something that you can lean
hold
on.
Hold you together.
Mm-hmm. Huh? That's where your vices come in, your crutches. You know, stuff stressing you out. Got to have a cigarette. Got to get it high. You got to do this. You got to go over. You see that? But when you're saved, you don't need any of that stuff. Huh? Because what happens to you is when you got saved, you stop depending on those things because you were depending on him.
Amen.
So there's your coups. There's your kvassier. Huh? Huh? There's your purple haze and all the rest of that stuff that be coming up. They come up some names with this stuff, making this out, all that. The cycle, whatever. Okay? Huh? They go bay and boo. You see that? Now we can get down to living the word. Amen? Because the Bible tells us to be holy for God is holy. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? We forgot that the Bible talks about who men who devise evil things.
Yes.
So you think everything that's natural and cultivated, because it came out the ground, it's natural? No, it isn't. There are some things that have been cultivated. Amen? And you can't be fooled by the politically correct answer to the world's problem or to your problem. Amen. Because sometimes the problem is something that's on the inside that needs to change. Yeah. And when it changes on the inside, you'll find out that things on the outside around you will change. First of all, we got to deal with the speech.
Okay.
See?
Let's go there.
You saying all that stuff, and you doing all that stuff, and then when all that stuff starts to reside around you, you try to get free from all that stuff. How about we stop talking about it so it can go on? When you stop sustaining it with your tongue, it will die.
There it is.
Amen? Now, I don't know why they keep coming around, because you keep talking that language, and they keep coming around to feed off of it. You stop talking it, they'll go somewhere else. See, I said before, you don't have to get rid of your friends when you get saved. Amen? Your friends will walk away from you because they don't want to be a part of all of that. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? When we see these words here in Peter, knowing this first, that scoffers will come.
Yes.
Whenever God gets ready to do something, the first thing we have to fight is scoffers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God said, move, let's go. Oh, I don't know if we can do that. You know, it's just that maybe we're doing, are we doing too much? Maybe we're being aggressive. Maybe we're being too aggressive. I don't know. What did the bank account say? Well, wait a minute, hold on, where's your faith at? How come the first thing when God said do something, the first thing come out your mouth is every adverse statement concerning what God said do? How come your faith didn't rise to the occasion and say, we shall go?
Yeah.
Huh? Do we need to remember what happened when Moses was in the wilderness? They're on the first part of the journey, sends the spies out. Amen. They go over, come back with the testimony of what's in the land. Yes, it do flow with milk and honey. And look at these grapes and all of this that we brought back from there. It is a land that is plenteous. But there are giants. And we are but grasshoppers. Well, see, your perception is off. Because when you said we are as grasshoppers, the first thing you should have saw is that with all that greenery over there, when grasshoppers come in, when locusts come in, they decimate the land.
They sure do.
Amen? That means that when you said, but we are as grasshoppers, you should have said, but we're able to take the land and we shall decimate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see that? But they didn't see that. What they saw was their stature, not their potential. You see that? Yeah. Your stature was a grasshopper. Your potential was to decimate the land. You see that? And when you understand that, then you'll stop doing what they did. They refused to go.
Mm-hmm.
Then after God dealt with those who caused the insurrection, then the men talk about, let me get my sword on, get my stuff on.
I'm on my way. Make my reservations.
I'll be ready to go in a minute. No, we going. I saw what just happened to them. No, hold on. And Moses said, what are y'all doing? The ark can't go before you. God has refused. He rejected. You have rejected him. He has rejected you. Sometimes you don't have a second opportunity to do it right the first time.
Let me say that again.
Amen. Sometimes you do not have that second chance to do the right thing the first time. Amen?
Amen.
Here they are, scoffers, murmurers, complainers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you find yourself doing any of those things when it comes down to your life, then first of all, let's just change our lifestyle. How about you don't have to worry about not scoffing if that's not the life you live?
True.
Amen?
All right.
You don't have to worry about murmuring if murmuring isn't the lifestyle you live.
Right.
Boss say something at work. Well, man, hold on. That's a lifestyle. So when God says something, amen, that's not just because you were speaking out because you didn't believe. That's because you have lived that life so long that that is a natural response to hearing things. You need to change that first. Practice changing your environment, but your response to the environment. Amen? Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lust. Amen? So here in 2 Timothy 3, when he says perilous times will come, look what it says, for men will be lovers of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge me. Don't talk about me.
Hmm.
Huh? How come How come every time something comes out, the church is just too judgmental? No, the church isn't judgmental. We're scripturally correct. Amen? And when we're living in life, we find that being scripturally correct means that we may not always be politically correct. But if you're going to be a man or a woman of God, you have to risk that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of you worrying about being politically correct so that people will like you, why don't you be scripturally correct so that God will applaud you?
Mm.
See, the world is looking for a difference.
True.
Huh? They've seen and they heard all of this stuff before. They've seen and heard it, but they haven't seen it demonstrated. And those of us who should be demonstrated are trying our best to come become friends of the world. Amen. The Bible clearly says this. It says that if you would become friends of the world, then you make yourself an enemy with God. These are hard words, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? They are. I know they are. But listen, the reason behind it is because the world will always tell you that it's better to be with the many than with the few. Marines understand by training that it's better to be part of the few and the proud than to be a part of the grand whole. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So when we begin to deal with these things, we begin to see then that dealing with being the few and the proud makes you elite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It don't make you big-headed. It makes you elite. You don't accept everything.
Mm-mm.
Everything don't rise up to the level. And you don't allow everything to rise up into the level. I remember, and there are some people who still do it today. Thank God that there are some who know better. Amen. Know that I'm in ministry. And when they get to a place where they're upset, if a curse word or something slip out their mouth, they'll say, excuse me. I'm sorry. And they'll reword what they're saying. You see that? Well, when you're around people who have no discipline, they have no fear, they have no reverence, the first thing they'll do is they'll cuss and talk about, this just me.
Yeah.
You see that? That goes down to that lovers of themselves. Don't judge me, this just who I am. Huh? Me first, God second. Your house looks good. Your car looks good. The pastor driving the Pinto, you driving the Porsche. You know, and when the Pinto pull up and you talk about getting the paint job, then they talk about, I don't know if we need to put a paint job on that. You know, we can't be using the resources for, you know,
right.
Wait a minute, so the pastor's supposed to live a slave poverty lifestyle, but you can live grand, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm averse to the other side of that coin, where the preacher lived the grand lifestyle, but the church got old seats in it,
mm-hmm.
Old stuff in it, nothing updated, nothing's together, nothing is being done in the community, but he got the house that's out in a gated community,
yeah.
You know, with five bedrooms. It's just him and his wife, but he got seven bedrooms, six baths. He got the wait staff for him and everything. Why are you living like that? And you ain't doing nothing for it. You got a storefront church living in the said some.
Yeah, you said it.
God really blessed us. No. What you doing is you're taking the resources. You should have turned that storefront into something else.
That's it.
You should have moved by now. Huh? Well, you know, they you pulling up in Bentleys and got your little parking spot in front of your storefront. You see that? There's a problem with that. Huh? Because just like you don't have to live an impoverished lifestyle, you shouldn't be putting all that on you and not doing for the household of faith.
True.
Men, huh, will be lovers of themselves. The second one of that talks about the first one, lovers of money.
What you say?
Because when you love money, you're not going to do for God when you can see you can do more for yourself. You don't have a faith walk. You have a how much money I can get from these people walk. Hmm? And when you have that, then you stop trusting in God. When God tells you to do something that you're looking at, it's going to require your faith to come up to it. Instead of your faith coming up to it, you make excuses for it. Don't do it and tell everybody that God said, You got to live this life. Walk the walk, live the life. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? I'm going to say it again. Walk the walk, live the life. Huh? And when your faith needs to come up, we know that you're a lover of money because instead of tithes and offering, you give handouts and thank yous. God gave you the ability. He didn't ask for your tip. He asked for your tithe. See? Your offering wasn't an offer that you're going to barter with. This isn't, you know, going back and forth. The Lord said, you know, bring an offering. You know, well, Lord, you know, if I give you this $3, I need you to, you know, let that man over there say that he going to give me that car that I really want. Hold on. You trying to get a car, but you giving God. Yeah. Hold on. I don't believe in this this prosperity theology. But when it comes down to the expenses of the church, the lights still have to be on. Mm-hmm. Huh? The doors still have to be open. Insurances have to be paid. We still have to do the other things that need to be done, right?
Yeah.
Huh? So if those things have to be done, it's because the body came together to make sure those things happen. That's before we get into any of the other things that we need to be doing.
Correct.
Amen? Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that those things are done, being done, and being taken care of. Amen. Huh? When you love money, you're going to take care of you. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money. I wish I had time to go down through this whole list because there's some good stuff here. Amen. Boasters, proud. Can't, every time you go to the church, you hear somebody talking about how wonderful they are. How about we talk about Jesus for a change? Thank you. Amen. We don't hear about Jesus. We hear about your plan and your, and I set this up and once we do this, it's phase 1, 2, 3. Okay? When we get to our final phase, we'll be in. It'll be wonderful things, and we'll be able to celebrate what we've been able to do. Isn't that wonderful? You know, a good plan together is something that we can execute, and it always makes us look good. Okay, did I hear Jesus say any of that? Are you building the up the kingdom of God, or are you building the kingdom itself? See, we got to really focus. We got to see it. We have to understand it for what it is. Amen?
Yes.
If we're not, then we have a problem. We have issues. Amen?
Amen.
Blasphemers. Huh? And let me just talk about blasphemers. If you watch any comedy nowadays, you see blasphemy on parade.
Yep.
Huh? Each one of them is talking about, you know, they don't believe in God and they call Jesus fixed. A fictitious character and everything else, and they just go through, yeah, and the punchline is Jesus, mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, and after they get done doing that, then, you know, they there's a couple of comedians that have even started the Church of Atheism,
mm-hmm.
And they're filling up big venues with atheists who come together. They have good music, they have inspirational message. None of this is for Jesus, amen. None of this deals with anything Christian, amen. And after they get done, they take up offerings and all that and try to do some work in the community. But they exclude God out of all of it, amen. And it's a parody on what church is supposed to really be.
Right. But they still call it church.
But they still call it church. They're against what church is, mm-hmm. But they still have one.
Exactly. So how crazy is that?
Mm-hmm. There are still people standing in pulpits who really don't believe in God, but collect a check as a pastor because they learn how to put together a message.
Mm-hmm.
Blasphemers. Huh? Calling what God has done anything but God's work. We could go through this whole thing and be there for a while. But let me go here because I don't want to venture too far from where we started. Paul, after he gets done with this, he begins to tell Timothy that he's being charged. Huh? But he makes sure that he understands that in the 10th verse, but you be careful. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. But sisters, you can't get a deliverance until you deal with the delivery. Some things will be brought to you that you don't want to deal with.
True.
Some things that you'll have to go through will be anything that what you would have wanted to have happen to you.
Right, right.
Amen. If someone would have told me over the past couple of years that I would have had to go through some of the things that I went through, I would have told them the devil's a lie. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a victor. And, you know, hold on. I went through some stuff. And guess what? I'm still more than a conqueror. Through it all, God kept me. Through it all, God delivered. Amen? Huh? When he said, what persecutions I endured, through it all, I endured.
Amen.
Y'all see that? And yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ, woo, Jesus, will suffer persecutions. I don't believe that God called me to go through because I'm already victorious. 12 verse? Yes. And all who desire to live godly lives, who live godly in Christ Jesus, will. Does it say will? Will suffer persecution. But even men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Yes, sir.
But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and validates the Bible. I like this third chapter because there's a couple of things in there. It talks about where we are. It talks about who is teaching him. It talks about how he got to where he is. Amen. It talks about the Scripture. Amen.
Yeah.
This third chapter here really sets up for what we're looking at in this fourth chapter. Amen. Mm-hmm. All Scripture is given, the 16th verse here, by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul has done his work,
yes.
Ephesians 4, amen, he has done his work, equipping, edifying, you see that, maturing,
mm-hmm.
developing, he's done all of that. And now we get to 4 and 1.
Well,
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was just the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word.
Yes,
so after all of this, you know what not to do.
Right.
What to look out for.
Right.
You see? Huh?
Right.
You learn how to dig down and how to endure. You have a testimony before you. Amen.
Yes.
Paul said, I've been through persecution. You saw what they did to me over here at Lystra, Iconium, and you see, he's telling him, you know, you're going to go through something, and everybody who's going to serve is going to go through something. Amen.
Yes.
You're going to live a godly life in Jesus Christ. You're going to go through something. So don't get nervous when the test trial come. Amen. That's why when we look at this and we see that people are going through certain things, and we're reading about different people who have taken their lives and the like, then people say, oh, that's just so sad and terrible. Yes, it is sad and terrible. But guess what? If you are living a life that you have not been called to.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, somebody. If you are living a life that you have not been given the grace or the measure of Christ's gift, the grace that he's given, then if you're standing in the office that you have not been called to, when the storms of life, when the tests come, you don't have a resource to tap into because you are disconnected from a grace that was never given to you.
Amen.
Amen. So then you look for natural means. Then you go sleeping around, getting high, huh?
We have years ago we had a well-known pastor, amen, who was found in a hotel room, and what was in his pockets and what was in his system was anything other than what he should have had around him. Mm-hmm. You see, when just because you made it through their background check and everything else and you did all of that, that don't mean that God called you and qualified you for office. When a test comes, when the stress of ministry comes, when the spiritual warfare begins, if you don't have that grace upon you, we see them falling left and right. This is what they meant back in the day when I was coming up, and my mother and father and them, we used to be in there, and they used to say, you know, don't leave before time. Amen? What they were saying is not stay in my church forever. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because you're going to mature sometimes. Sometimes your assignment was to come and get trained and get seated and everything and then go on and do the work that God called you to, amen? Mm-hmm. Which means you're not going to be sitting in those pews, but you're going to graduate to the next level, amen? Right. Everybody can't be the pastor of a church. If God called you to pastor, then you need to launch out and start the church and become a pastor where God called you to. Time out for all these churches with 17 pastors sitting in the front row.
You better know it.
Ain't nobody got no church, but everybody a pastor up in there.
Right.
Everybody a prophet, but can't nobody speak but one person in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, we have to train them. Yeah, you have to train them, but they also have to have opportunity and venue.
Exactly.
So you got them by title, so you can sit back and talk about what's in your church. But after all is said and done, who's doing anything for the kingdom?
Exactly.
Can't nobody move out? You don't know what's inside of them because you don't have an opportunity to hear them. Amen. Hallelujah. It's rough. It's rough. Because we set these things up. These are people who set these things up because they want to make sure nobody became greater than them.
Exactly.
So they stocked up under them all of these ministerial gifts, thinking that it's going to raise their level up higher. But your stock is really down here. Hmm? Penny stocks are still pennies. Huh? They're not dollars. You see that?
Yeah.
So if you get 100,000 pennies, you don't have $100,000. You just got 100,000 pennies. Amen. And if you don't develop them into 50 cents or you don't develop those pennies into nickels, dimes, quarters, or dollars, then you still don't have nothing worth anything. You got a lot of mass, but you don't have a lot of, what's the word? Not potential, but you don't have a lot of growth. You see that?
I do.
We got to do the work. Have to do the work. Amen. When we see here, Paul begins to tell him, preach the word. He's equipped him for the work, giving him what he needs to do, why he needs to do it. It is at this point in this juncture that we begin to deal with the realities of our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
What has God called you to do? What has God said to you? What have you given God excuse for that you need to back down from and simply do what the Master said? It's not too hard to know which way to go. When you start walking, the Holy Spirit can lead you. Amen?
Amen.
Let me make this plain for those of you who ever had to push a car or something like that. Turning the wheel is very difficult when the car is sitting still.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get momentum, the wheel turns much easier.
Yes.
It's still not power assisted. Amen?
Right.
But it's not like when you're sitting there trying to, because why? The tire is sitting there and you turning it is fighting you because the friction of the rubber of the tires is keeping it from trying to move.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps trying to pull back to its original position. But when it's moving,
and you turn it, it's taking on a new position as the goal. It turns easier. Amen. Mm-hmm. So some of you saying, Lord, show me which way to go. He said, get moving, and I'll direct you. The reason why you're having a hard time turning is because you won't move. No movement, no progression, everything hard. Lord, which way should I go? Move, and I'll show you. Mm-hmm. See, we're being led by the Spirit, and the Spirit's directive is move. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
And as you move, he shows you which way you need to go. We go back to Genesis, the 12th chapter in the first verse. Amen? You notice that when the Lord gave Abram the command to get out,
yes,
he didn't tell him to where.
Right.
As we look in hindsight, we see that his father left from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan,
mm-hmm,
but stopped in Haran.
Sure.
You see that? So when he gets the commandment to leave from here, he ends up in Canaan. Sometimes where God is taking you is where you should have been going all along, but you got stopped in the way. You see? You should have fulfilled certain things, but and those who were predecessors for you should have did certain things sometime. And God will call you to finish the work.
Yes.
Complete the task. Amen? So sometimes you're trying to figure out, well, I've been around here too long. That's why he said, you know, from this land, from your kinfolk, from your family.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because all of this became caustic to your father, who was on the way to revelation, but
yeah,
stopped in the way.
Yeah.
Y'all see? We got to understand that, okay, that Terah should have went on.
Yes, really is.
But when Haran, his son, died, he named the place where he stopped,
mm-hmm,
and stayed there.
Yeah.
Now, y'all understand, whenever there was a death, that they had a certain amount of time that they could mourn, and then they had to move on.
Sure did.
You see?
Sure.
Because staying in a place of defeat or of hurt will keep you from progressing to your final destination.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn that what God is saying to you, what God is doing for you, and what God has commanded you to do has to be done the way that he said it. Amen?
Amen.
And if it's being done the way that he said it, then you'll find that the way is easy as you go. Then comes the blessings. You hear me say this often, the blessing of obedience.
Amen.
Amen. Blessing of obedience don't come when you're telling God what you think you want him to do, or what you think you want him to address, or how you think you want him to move. It comes when he says move and you say yes, sir. When he says go and you say I'm going. See, when he says go, and you grab your keys, and you walk out the door, and you put the key in the car, start it up, and you put it in reverse, and you pull off the driveway. As you pull it towards the back, he'll say, go to your right, so you know which way to pull out the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you start going, he said, yeah, now, you know, you have to understand what you need to go over and do, and you need to take care. Remember I told you you need to go over there? You need to take a look. And as you're driving, he's talking to you so you know where to direct the car as it's going. When you get to the place where you need to be at, he's going to say, look at that. You'd be like, wow, hey. Now you're on the phone trying to tell people stuff because you've seen it for the first time. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? But you would never saw it if God hadn't got you to move.
Amen.
If you were disobedient, it would have still been there to wonder that you would have saw, but never seen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. We're just stopping. We're not done. Prophetess.
Amen. Come on, bow your heads, people of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and thank you for this word, God. You have charged us this morning. Father, I'm asking right now that your people, we your people, will surrender to your will and your way, that you would lead us and guide us. You told us to trust in you with all your heart, lead not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. Father, we just bow and submit our will to your will in Jesus' name.
Yes,
lead us where we need to go so that we can fulfill the assignment that you have charged us with on our lives before you come, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you right now. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I am a sinner. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me. Make me whole. I will serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen, I pray that if you prayed that prayer, that you are led, the Holy Spirit leads you to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing ministry where you can be matured, developed, and go on to do the work that God is giving you to do. Amen. It is important for you to be obedient to him and for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Amen.
Amen.
Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Our Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. We bless in the name of the Lord.